No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome in to the Rockies Insider. I'm your Rockies Insider, Patrick Lyons, on this All-Star edition. Not the All-Star game yet, but we know that Hunter Goodman is the Rockies representative this summer in the Midsummer Classic in Atlanta at Truist Park. Announcement officially made on Sunday. The thing that we knew was going to be the announcement for a while. I'll get into that. Wrap up this White Sox series that did not end in a sweep. Preview a little of the Red Sox series. A lot of different notes to get to. But entering this weekend, we had the two worst teams in each league playing in their worst possible environment. Crazy to think about. You had the White Sox, who were the worst team on the road. They had only 9 wins away from Wrigley Field, formerly Guaranteed Wrigley Field, formerly New Comiskey. And you had the Rockies, who had only 9 wins at home all season long, fewest in the majors. So someone was going to have to win 3 of these games. And the White Sox ended up taking 2 of 3. And the Rockies now have 10 wins at home. They end up getting the win on Sunday. Nice victory to go away and have the happy flight. They've had a lot of those happy flights. 9 of their 10 wins at home this season have come in the final game of a series, and it has come with a sweep on the line. 9 times they've gone into the final game of a series at home with a sweep on the line, and 9 times they've won those. So that's nice, but still the Rockies are 0-14 now at home. It's sometimes hard to keep track of all the numbers as they move around. 0-14 in series at home. And I think they're 0-17 dating back to the end of last year on top of that. So they're playing better, no doubt. But going into Sunday, keep in mind, if you start counting after the first 3 wins at Nationals Park earlier this month, so starting June 19th, if you look at what they've been able to do since then, they were 3-12 entering Sunday. So now they're 4-12. And when Bud Black was fired on May 11th, he was 7-33, which is a 175 winning percentage and on pace for 134 losses. If you go 3-12, that's a 200 winning percentage or 130 loss pace. So we've got the same club here. It's a slightly better performing club, which is great. And it's a slightly more interesting club. But unfortunately, as we knew at the time when the managerial change was made, we were going to have the same club. But Warren Schaefer doing some good things. I have a lot of good things to say about what Warren Schaefer has been able to do. It's easy to just look at the losses and say, hey, everything's exactly the same. But I don't think that that's true. I think you got to look a little bit harder. You got to look a little bit deeper. You got to listen to some of the things that Schaefer has been saying. I've been a believer in what he's been saying. Do I think he is the next coming of Casey Stengel? No, not exactly. Is he the next Dusty Baker? No, but I do think that he has been able to get a lot more out of this roster than in the past, and he's pretty much been exactly what this organization has needed to run this team because he likes accountability, and he wants more out of everything. He wants more out of everyone, and he wants more out of everywhere of this organization. Whether or not he gets it is different, but he's trying to get more out of this. Felix in the chat, thanks for dropping by, homie. Hopefully this is one of many all-star appearances for Goodman. And yes, why not? Might give Goodman some more confidence. Absolutely. His confidence has to be at an all-time high. I'll talk more about him later on in the show. And it's funny, I hadn't thought about it in this perspective, and I'll get into some of the more recent All-Stars for the Rockies, but none of the All-Stars that we've had since the pandemic, since 2020, or since the end of the 2019 season, we haven't had any Rocky go back-to-back. We haven't had any Rocky do it twice. It's always been one time or the first time as a first-time All-Star. So I'll dig into that. And, you know, can Goodman get himself back to the Midsummer Classic? Yeah, absolutely. I think he is certainly young enough, and he still has a lot of baseball left in him ahead. And seeing what Cal Raleigh's been able to do this year is fun. And certainly that can provide a little bit of inspiration for Goodman, who, keep in mind, is still in his first full season catching in the majors. First full season really catching full-time as a professional. Let's not forget that. The bat was so good that they had to find a position for him. So he played first base and corner outfield in order to move up to get to the majors, because the bat was there, the glove wasn't. And only now is his defense been able to shine behind the plate. I think he still has a lot to work on defensively, but he's given an opportunity to be a catcher, to be the full-time catcher, and the results have been really solid. Tyler Freeman is another one of those players who, under Warren Schaefer, has really blossomed. Unfortunately, he does have a hamstring issue. He's been playing with one as of recent. It's one of the reasons why you've seen him as DH more times than in right field. He was held out of Sunday's lineup, but was able to reach base on Saturday to extend his on-base streak to 20 games. The longest streak by a Rocky since, now you remember I mentioned this guy earlier in the week, talking about first baseman getting an opportunity and who could hit and who I really thought was going to have a nice big league career. And we'll see. It's far from over yet. But the last time a Rocky had an on-base streak of more than 20 games was Elijeris Montero. Yes, August 14th through September 18th, 2023. Look at what he did in the final month plus of that campaign at first base when he was getting regular playing time. And he was a guy that very well could have been what Michael Tolia was last year and is trying to do again this year. We'll see. A lot more to happen. Freeman has reached base in 29 consecutive starts dating back to May 30th, the longest streak for Rocky since, oh yeah, Jurickson Profar, 37-game streak from April to the end of May, also in 2023. And Freeman, 10 for 22. He's batting .455 in the month of July. So, you know, disappointing, obviously, that he's had the hamstring issue, but nice to see that the Rockies only struck out 15 times in the series, not against a very good team, but still, you can only play who is across from you. So 15 strikeouts over three games at Coors Field. That is certainly a positive. That is trending in the right direction. Dolander, unfortunately, not trending in the right direction. He struggled, has now thrown fewer than four innings in back-to-back starts. He was pulled in the fourth, 3 2/3 innings pitched, five hits, only gave up three runs, but he walked four and only struck out two. 12.79 ERA over his last two starts. Those four walks were indeed a career high. I don't think he is fatigued a ton. He's somewhat of an old school kind of pitcher. I think in a lot of ways for a 23-year-old kid in his rookie campaign and only his second full season as a professional coming out of University of Tennessee, he's old school in that way. But the Rockies have to be a bit cautious. I think, you know, an innings limit is something they're really trying to eye up. It's one of the reasons why, you know, I think part of the reason why he was on an IL stint. Did he have an injury? Yes. Was he banged up? Sure. Do you guys pitch through things like that? Sometimes they do. So I'm not going to totally throw all that out there, but he's going to need some downtime in order to prevent him from throwing too much and then needing Tommy John surgery at some point next year. So you have to be cautious about those innings, right? That's a part of the conversation that the Rockies, you know, are really having. And when you consider the fact that his 15 starts before the All-Star break are the most by our Rockies rookie starting pitcher since 2017, you go, well, yeah, some of that has to do with the fact that Rockies haven't been able to produce a ton of young starting pitchers that have been rookies, but also that, he's gone out there and he's taken the ball a lot. 15 starts. Senzatela and Freeland had that many. Freeland actually had 18 in his rookie campaign in 20 season. Mickey Moniak's take three. Moniak Maniacs unite for Mickey Moniak. There we go. That's what I wanted to say. Dude has been great. He had his 13th home run on Sunday. He's now has 8 homers in his last 20 games. Keep in mind, his career high is 14 over the past 2 years. So this is a guy, first overall pick in the draft by the Phillies, coming out of high school. His power is really just now, seemingly just now, starting to develop in his late 20s. One more to already hit a career high, and we're just barely over that halfway mark of the season. Had a leadoff homer in Sunday's campaign, the 5th of his career. The last one that he had with the Angels, it was also against the White Sox. How about that? 4th leadoff homer by a Rocky this season. And I like this stat that the Rockies' awesome communications team put out post-game on Sunday. Moniak recorded his team-leading 6th triple of the season, becoming the first Rocky since Charlie Blackmon, who had 10 in 2019, to record 6 or more triples before the All-Star break, finished a double shy of the cycle. So with his single, triple, homer, and stolen base, we haven't seen a performance like that from a Rocky since Carlos Gonzalez when he hit for the cycle in 2010 against the Cubs. Has now hit safely in his last 6 games, tied for the longest hitting streak this season for him. So Mickey Moniak, another one of those bright spots under Warren Schaefer. You got Moniak plus Freeman plus Hunter Goodman, the All-Star, plus you got Ryan McMahon and Brenton Doyle, relatively consistent. I know you probably want more out of them. You got a returning Ezekiel Tovar, and you've got yourself what seems to be a much deeper lineup these days. Not necessarily more wins. One of the things that Schaefer has talked about during the pregame scrums at the ballpark is the fact that winning is a skill. It's something that you need to know how to do. It's something you need to learn how to develop. And this Rockies team doesn't have that skill down entirely. They don't. It's going to take some time. So they've got improved talent, but they don't know how to win ball games consistently just yet. That'll happen. Also in this game on Sunday, Shane Smith, not great, but should be noted, he'll be the White Sox lone representative in the All-Star game in a couple weeks down in Atlanta. Only the 2nd player ever to make the All-Star team in his Rule 5 draft year. How about that? The first, Dan Uggla back in 2006. And no, Uggla was not the sole representative. Miguel Cabrera also made it for the Marlins that year. So White Sox, not the case. They had to take one, and it happens to be Shane Smith. Let's get to Saturday's game. Let's check out this comment here. CT Gaming, what's going on, CT? I don't know if this is on the conversation list today. It is now because you just mentioned it, and I haven't read the second half. I'm afraid to read the second half, but let's see what you got. But who do you think might be moved at the deadline? Great question. July 31st is the trade deadline, and this is something that I went into detail about earlier in the week on the Rockies Insider podcast. Go check that out. About 45 minutes breaking down all the different trade candidates. The two most obvious ones are Ryan McMahon and Jake Bird, and they're on opposite sides of the spectrum in terms of what they do. One is a reliever. The other one plays every day as a position player at third base. One of them is getting paid rather handsomely and has 2 more years of club control. The other one has 4 more years of club control and is still making the league minimum. So those are the two guys at the top of the list, and there's still plenty more. You still got Tyra Estrada. If you're interested in dealing a Mickey Moniak, you certainly can do that. There are some people that I've spoken to around baseball that would say, honestly, if it's going to be 3 or 4 more years until you're going to contend, everyone should be on the trade block. So that means Hunter Goodman could be a guy that could go. Do I think that's going to happen? Absolutely not. Hunter Goodman is not going to get traded. If Elias Diaz didn't get traded in his All-Star year with a little over a year of club control, you know Hunter Goodman is not going to have that happen as a homegrown guy. Definitely not happening. But just about everyone is going to be on the docket. So check out that episode where I break that down in players who have the most value. The thing you should also check out is over on the Denver Gazette, written by my good friend Kevin Henry, where he had a one-on-one conversation with Bill Schmidt, who offered a lot of interesting things about this organization and some of the things going on behind the scenes, especially in terms of the draft. And it does seem as if the Rockies are going to maybe play a little bit hard to get right now in terms of trades, with their focus being on the MLB draft coming up here now a week away, next Sunday and Monday and Tuesday. But, you know, the early rounds, that's where their focus is right now. So you're going to have to wait a little bit more than a week, I think, before we see any trades. And then the closer we get to the deadline, the more eager, the more anxious teams are going to be to say, fine, we'll give you what you want. We'll give you a little bit more here than we would have 2 weeks ago. Now, granted, we would have liked to have had this player 2 weeks ago, but giving this much more than what we think he's worth for 2 weeks, forget it. That clock runs down, and all of a sudden you go, look, after July 31st, you can't get players anymore. You used to be able to trade beyond the deadline if you needed to dump a contract. Like if Ryan McMahon, let's say, was having an awful year and he had $32 million still coming to him over the next 2 years, not to mention, you know, $4 million more remaining this year, and he was just really, really bad, you could try to pass him through revocable waivers. And if a certain team claimed Ryan McMahon, the Rockies could say, sure, you can take him. I mean, we could pull him back off waivers, but let's see, what would you give us for Ryan McMahon? Because we don't want him. His contract is too much. So when you do reverse standings, all the teams with the worst records, they're not going to want to add $32 million in payroll for a guy who used to be good. So they're going to pass. And then you get to the contenders. And if one of them picks him up, you might be able to get a really solid prospect in that trade. That loophole was closed in one of the more recent CBA. So you just can't make any trades beyond July 31st. So those 2 weeks go by, and now all of a sudden the price is going to be a little bit more because the clock is ticking. Absolutely. Kenny's saying, I think not, but will the Rockies hang on to Herman? I don't have any insight on that. He has been pitching better. You know, he didn't look great on Saturday in that 10-3 loss. You know, he had been really well since the end of May going into Saturday's start. But, you know, I don't know what the Rockies are thinking. This is someone that they would consider to be a homegrown guy. And he is. Sure, he wasn't signed by the team out of Venezuela. He was signed by the Tampa Bay Rays and then acquired in a trade ahead of the 2016 season. But still, he made his debut with the Rockies and had yet to even pitch in Double A in the minors when he came over to Colorado. So he's a homegrown guy in that sense. He's still relatively young. The Rockies still need some arms in their rotation. Yes, they've got some young guys coming up, but how much more do they want to go through those growing pains? You also can't have enough starting pitching depth. You can't have enough pitchers in general. So could this be a year-by-year basis? Could, you know, Marquez and his agent be thinking, you know what, I'm having a decent enough year, my first full year back from Tommy John surgery. You know, the Rockies certainly need me more than I need them. So maybe I get a 2-year deal. I don't know. Could the Rockies trade Herman Marquez and then still sign him in free agency? 100%. It's the lack of understanding that logic. Yes, it probably becomes a lot harder to quote unquote re-sign a guy after you just traded him, but money talks. That's it. So you could trade him and still sign him as a free agent, which is what the Rockies could have done in the mid-2010s with Jorge De La Rosa and acquired a young left-handed starting pitcher from the Baltimore Orioles by the name of Eduardo Rodriguez, who just the other day, coincidentally, got 10 years of service time. But no, the Rockies couldn't look ahead to say, you know what, we can get a lot for a little right now. So moving on from Herman Marquez, I think, is something that benefits all parties. And then you can still bring him back. You absolutely can still bring him back. Now, on Saturday, Marquez allowed his most runs of the season since that start at home against Atlanta, where he gave up 7 earned runs. I think that was the one where he talked about not being able to, you know, feel the baseball. It was cold. He couldn't have his fingertips were kind of almost numb to it. That was very scary to hear him say that. But since then, you know, he has really bounced back. He has been giving up a lot of runs early on in the ball game. In fact, the 18 earned runs that he's allowed in the first inning are tied with teammate Antonio Senzatella for the second most in the majors. But again, going into that start against the White Sox this weekend, he had a 2.70 ERA over his last eight starts, his last 43 and a third innings pitched. And we know some of that was aided by an error in his last start against the Astros that like totally wiped away. Well, it wasn't against the Astros actually, but that totally wiped away a bunch of earned runs. Still, he has been pitching a lot better. I think he does have value for a team that needs some starting pitching depth. Also on Saturday, this was cool. Ryan McMahon, who had struggling, I think he had an 0-for-14 slump, and he was pretty excited after he got the hit, joking with the guys in the dugout from second base on what was a single. He ended up advancing on a throw, but that was the 800th career hit for him in that fourth inning, becoming only the 13th player in Rockies history to reach 800 home runs. He's now only a handful away from Garrett Atkins at 12th all time on the Rockies list. So good for Ryan McMahon. I also had seen something from Sarah Langs talking about, who was it? I think it was something about Christian Walker homering at Dodger Stadium because he's been great. He's hit 20 home runs in his like first 46 games at Dodger Stadium. So yeah, he's a killer at Coors. He's a killer at Dodger Stadium. And Sammy Sosa was on that list too. So I had to look it up. In Sammy Sosa's first 40 games at Coors Field, he hit 20 home runs. He hit a home run on average one out of every two games. Well, Chicago's Sosa did it again on Saturday night. In his fourth game at Coors Field, he hit his second home run. No, not Chicago Cubs Sammy Sosa. I mean Chicago White Sox Lenin Sosa hitting his second at Coors Field. On Friday, 3-2 loss, Senzatella did not allow any runs through the first three innings. That was a step in the right direction. He has been better in the first few innings. It's one of the reasons why Schaefer says he hasn't gone back to using the opener for starts. The bullpen has been eaten up just a little bit, so that perfect storm that existed the first time just hasn't been there. Adrian Hauser, outstanding. His sinker induced a lot of ground balls. Eight innings pitched, longest of his career. You also got to see the major league debut, the debut series of Colson Montgomery. Quite memorable. His first at-bat was supposed to be the final out of the second inning, but there was catcher's interference by Hunter Goodman, so he reaches on an error, and then in the bottom of the second, he makes an incredible diving stab over the shoulder to end the inning and steal a run from the Rockies. Ryan McMahon said to Ryan Ritter, "Dude, sorry, that was like one of the best catches I think I've ever seen." I think it also was like the first time since 1943 that a player reached on a catcher's interference in his major league debut, in his first plate appearance. That was wild. Montgomery definitely has to feel like Denver's a special place for him. I'll give a tip of the cap to a really great Chicago White Sox fan, a good friend of mine, a part of the Rocky Mountain Sabre board that we have, the Society for American Baseball Research, here in Denver and around the entire Rocky Mountain region. But Dave Mundo, great White Sox fan. It's been great talking with him about the Chi Sox a bunch this weekend. But a lot of different things pointing out that, you know what, Colson Montgomery also drafted in Denver in 2021 when Colorado and Coors Field was the host for the 2021 All-Star Game. And for the very first time, the MLB draft. That was the first year that they ever did that. Colson Montgomery taken by the White Sox early. So Denver, definitely a special place for him. Went 2-for-3 on Saturday, looked solid on Sunday as well. Yankiel Fernandez, talking about firsts. Fernandez gets his first big league hit, and the kid from La Habana, Cuba, who's on first base when he gets his first career base hit? It's one of his brethren, Miguel Vargas, also from Havana, Cuba. How beautiful is baseball, right? That's baseball. That was amazing. Edgar Kerr had his first home run on Saturday, came into the dugout, got the silent treatment by his teammates, because guess what? Bad teams can and should have fun too. Watch the game on the 4th of July at home with my folks. Broadcast showed a really great graphic about Jordan Beck as the youngest Rocky, 24 years and 76 days, to reach 10 homers and 10 stolen bases before the All-Star break. passing Cargo's record. He also did it in his age 24 season. Tula was on that list. Story, that was pretty impressive. That was nice to see on Friday. And then we got the bad news on Saturday that Bobby Jenks had passed away from a form of stomach cancer at only 44 years old, was surrounded by his family at their home in Portugal. And there was a nice moment of silence in the ball game on Saturday. Very touching. You might recall Bobby Jenks as the closer for the White Sox during their last World Series championships. He was an all-star in 2006 and 2007, 40 saves in both of those seasons, retired 41 consecutive batters in 2007, which tied a major league record at that time. That's a perfect game and a half. Impressive. And of course, the World Series win in 2005 ended an 88-year championship drought for the Chicago White Sox. Pretty darn good for him. He also served as the manager of the Grand Junction Rockies back in 2022 when he helped win the Pioneer League that season for Grand Junction and earned Manager of the Year honors. So he's got some Colorado connections as well. So gone but not forgotten, Bobby Jenks. It was good to see Mike Tauchman kicking around the major leagues still. He got tangled up in the net and fell into the stands in the bottom of the fifth. I think that one was on Friday. But, you know, Mike Tauchman has, you know, in addition to Mickey Moniak, those are just two guys I think that are showing that you don't know what a player has in them early on in their career, because a lot of things can change. Not only just the team, but players' mindset, a lot of different ways, those things can change. And I think Mike Tauchman is a great example of underlining how talented the 2017 and 2018 teams were. A lot of those players are still active and contributing in the majors. It's also interesting to note that Warren Schaefer was Tauchman's hitting coach at Tri-Cities in the Northwest League back when it was a short season league, full of recently drafted players, similar to what the Pioneer League was like. Northwest League is now in high A when they reshuffled the minor league. So Schaefe at that time knew Tauchman was going to make it. He was a grinder. He was a player with a chip on his shoulder. He went to the opposite field with ease. He just had those intangibles that a big league player needs to have. And Tauchman still kicking around, still doing a good job. And again, it underlines the amount of talent that was on the 17-18 roster, because so many of those guys are contributing in big ways across the majors. And juxtapose that with the club that you had in 2021. And you don't have even 3 years later. So that means these guys are 3 years younger than the ones from 2017 and 2018. And you just don't have that same kind of talent. That's just the bottom line. You look at the top 10 plate appearances from the 2021 squad. You got McMahon and Story as being still active, number one and number two. Three and four is Cronin Blackman, retired. Number five is Raimel Tapia. He didn't even play organized ball last year. This year he's in the Mexican League with Monterrey. Number six, 7-8, you got Garrett Hampson, Brendan Rodgers, Elias Diaz. 9 and 10 are Jonathan Daza and Josh Fuentes. If you look at the 2018 pitching staff, besides the fact that, you know, those three guys in Marquez, Senzatella, and Freeland still doing their thing with the Rockies, Tyler Anderson still around, also an all-star after he left the Rockies. Carlos Estevez, who was also on the 2021 team, all-star. Brian Shaw, yeah, I know. But look, he was with the White Sox the last 2 years. He's in AAA this year. He'll probably be back eventually. Jeff Hoffman, top five in saves this year in the American League. That was a roster that was loaded with a lot of depth, a lot of big leaguers, big league depth. And when you don't have that, it becomes apparent. When you think you do have that and you're wrong, it's pretty easy to find out. It doesn't take very long to look back and go a couple years later, yeah, I guess we were wrong about that.
No one plans for hair loss. But through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/Hail Mary. That's Hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. Hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
The over-under on attendance this weekend, I thought it was going to be about 120,000. Well, we got sellouts on Friday and Saturday. 48,000 on Friday, 47,000 on Saturday, 25,600 plus on Sunday. That's 120.6. It's my estimate. So over by about 600. Do fireworks really attract more fans than a winning baseball club? That's my question. Washington Nationals fired their general manager, Mike Rizzo, and manager Dave Martinez. I can talk more about this later on in the week. Probable starters for this Red Sox series. You might have noticed I'm here in the Lions Den in my home studio. I had somewhat of a family emergency, so I never got on my plane on Saturday morning. So I will not be in Fenway this week for this series. Doesn't mean I'm not going to be covering it, because I absolutely will. And you know what? We've got a normal series. All three games, same time. You don't have brunch in baseball, unfortunately, on the getaway day on Wednesday. But you do have 5-10, 5-10, 5-10. Monday, it's Austin Gomber against Richard Fitz. Tuesday, Kyle Freeland against Brian Bello. And then on Wednesday, Senzatella against Lucas Giolito. Hunter Goodman is your all-star. He led all National League catchers going into Sunday in base hits, home runs, total bases, RBI, ranked second in batting average, slugging, OPS. His 16 home runs and 50 RBI are the most by a Rockies catcher prior to the all-star break in franchise history, and he's the first Rocky to record at least 50 RBI prior to the All-Star break since 2021, when you had CJ Cron, who was nearly an All-Star that year. He had to wait until 2022. In June, Goodman has continued to rake, and he is now the second catcher in the last 3 years to earn a nod in the Midsummer Classic. This is also the fifth consecutive year that the Rockies have had one representative in the All-Star game. Prior to this run, they didn't go more than 2 years with a single representative. That gives you an idea about how rough the Bill Schmidt era has been, how disappointing this franchise has been since they unloaded Nolan Arenado, how much they have lacked stars. But the question is for Hunter Goodman, will he enter the home run derby? Now, he was asked that by Renee Deckard, who recently wrote about whether or not Goodman would participate in that. Definitely recommend you check that out. But he was asked that in the postgame. He said, we'll see, followed with a little cheeky smile. We haven't had a Rocky in the derby since Trevor Story in 2021. We haven't had a Rocky in the derby outside of Denver, and who was actually an all-star. Story was not an all-star that year in 2021. But we haven't had a true all-star Rocky in the Derby since Charlie Blackmon in 2017. And we haven't had a Rocky get out of the first round of the Derby since Troy Tulowitzki in 2014. the video that the Rockies put out of interim manager Warren Schaefer announcing Goodman as the All-Star, I thought was great. He ran off a list of guys that were some of the best in his day as a young man. The Bonds, the Chipper Jones, the Mike Piazza, the Greg Maddux, the Hall of Famers from the 90s and 2000s, Big Poppy, all of those guys, all-stars, all of them heroes, idols to young ball players around the world. And now Hunter Goodman can call himself an all-star and be on that list, which is pretty darn cool. It also got me thinking, Hunter Goodman went from getting drafted in 2021 to being an all-star in 2025. So 4 years. And my quick study on Baseball Reference, my quick look to say, has anybody ever done that quicker as far as homegrown players in the Rockies organization? And I could only find one. I couldn't find anyone that tied 4 years. Everyone else was five or more. But the only player to ever go from being drafted, going from the college ranks to being an all-star in 4 years or less, that would be Hall of Famer Todd Helton, drafted in 1997, all-star in the year 2000. Number two on that list is now Hunter Goodman, doing it in just 4 years and in his first year as a primary catcher. So awesome stuff for him. Really happy for him. Happy for the Rockies organization to get their guy in, and a deserving one. Not a, hey, we need a representative. He was definitively the second best catcher in the National League. Yeah, number one. Yeah, sure. I guess he was number one. Not according to the fans. And I think if you were to create some kind of algorithm, some kind of formula for the starters in the National League and the American League, you do have to keep name recognition as having a lot of importance. I think there is that. And so Will Smith has not been knocked from the mantle. Has Goodman been as good as him? Defensively, no. Offensively, better. Yes. So overall, has he been definitively better? No, that's fine. But the reality is no. So that's why I'm saying second best NL catcher. But that's it, by a lot. He's earned that spot. It's not the sole representative. Someone has to represent the Rockies. I think if that rule wasn't in place, Goodman would have still been an all-star. Would that have been the case for McMahon last year? Probably not. Would that have been the case for Elias Diaz in 2023? Probably not. Would that have been the case for Crone in 2022, you have to go back and look. But I'd say probably not. As a first baseman, were there other first basemen that might have had the numbers of CJ Crone? I'd say probably. And then Marquez, 2021, I think he earned that spot. As a guy pitching at Coors Field, yeah, his numbers were trailing a lot of the other all-stars that year. And I think you could probably find some other pitchers that maybe had a better win-loss record or a better ERA. But for a guy who pitches at Coors Field, that does need to be a part of the equation. So would Marquez have been an all-star that year if that rule wasn't in place? I think so. I think so. Would he have been an all-star if the Rockies weren't the host? You want to go from that angle? I would still say yes. So Hunter Goodman definitively earned his place in the 2025 All-Star game. Going back to the Southeast, I'm sure he's going to have a lot of family, a lot of friends traveling in from Tennessee to see that. So super happy for him and super happy for everyone that engages with me on the social medias at Patrick D. Lyons or at Patrick D. Lyons MLB on Blue Sky, TikTok, the YouTube Shorts over on, well, YouTube at the Rockies Insider channel. Make sure you check that out. And if you're just listening to this as a podcast, go over on the video side so you can see my wonderful backdrop and see the dumb expressions that I make when I try to get the words out that get stuck in the back of my head and in the back of my throat. So thanks for everybody for dropping by. Appreciate the momentum that you always provide me. But that momentum, unfortunately, can only be as good as my next show. So, of course, I'll talk to you tomorrow.